evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Imagine dystopia. You hear that word frequently. What does it mean? Picture it in your mind's eye. Dystopia is a world where the police will not protect you. They refuse. And at the same time, you are not allowed to protect yourself. So who does that leave in charge? Who runs a world like that? Well, young men with guns. They're in charge. The cruelest and most violent element of any society. The people with the least to lose. The shortest time horizons. The shallowest reservoirs of impulse control. People like that have all the power. You have no power. And that means that everything you have is theirs. That's the end of civilization. It exists in pockets around the world. Mogadishu, famously. But if you think it's confined to Mogadishu, you haven't been to Chicago lately. This past Friday, just before noon, a 30-year-old man called Ryan King walked out of a gym in Chicago's Bucktown neighborhood. Bucktown is a former Polish enclave just west of Lincoln Park. That's one of the nicest parts of the city. Real estate websites describe Bucktown as young and hip, a place where recent college graduates who can pay above average rents might live. It's where your kids might live with their friends as they start their first jobs. And that's how most people think of Bucktown, people who haven't been there recently. But local news accounts suggest a very different reality. Shots fired during Bucktown robbery. Man shot during robbery attempt in Bucktown. Bucktown couple shares account of armed robbery. And so on and on. Many stories like this. Ryan King probably wasn't thinking of armed robbery as he walked out of the gym on Friday. It was broad daylight. It was a weekday. But then a car pulled up right next to him. Three young men jumped out and stuck a gun in his face. Here's an account from a local Fox station in Chicago.
Ryan King turned into an alley near the corner of Waubonsia and Oakley to get back to his mother's apartment when a dark-colored vehicle pulls up and three young men jump out. King says one of them pointed a gun right in his face, demanding his wallet. And moments later, he says a passerby saw the mugging unfolding and yelled. Instincts and his martial arts training kicked in, and that's when King hit one of the men with an elbow and ran off.
Again, broad daylight, middle of the day, nice neighborhood in one of America's biggest cities. So what happened next? Well, according to reporting by CWB Chicago, just minutes after Ryan King was threatened with death for daring to walk outside in his own neighborhood, Chicago police spotted the gunman's vehicle. But there was nothing they could do about it. Their supervisor ordered them not to pursue it. So the criminals just drove off. And of course, they committed more violent crimes. In the hours after Ryan King was attacked, 16 more armed robberies were reported in the area. Police believe at least two organized armed gangs are now operating with impunity around Bucktown, which means the gangs are in charge now. That's what the collapse of civilization looks like. But it's now normal in Chicago. According to data from the Chicago Sun-Times newspaper, last year, police made arrests in just 12% of reported crimes. That's the lowest level recorded in Chicago history. And that's what it means when politicians hand control of a city to criminals. Here, you run it. In Chicago right now, taxpayers are more likely to be the victims of crime than criminals are to be punished for it. So the question is, why would anyone in Chicago pay taxes? You'd have to be a masochist to do that. And pretty soon, only the masochists will be. So how did this happen? Well, it's no mystery. There are many threads. But George Soros is a big one. Soros paid for this to happen. Soros backed a prosecutor called Kim Fox, who turned Chicago over to the most vicious people who live there. Not the decent, good people in all neighborhoods, the most vicious, antisocial people, the ones who truly don't care about others, who are willing to kill people for their shoes or their car. The worst people. And they run things now. This is from our Fox station in Chicago.
Clutching pictures of loved ones, families come together to share their loss.
My sister's name is Tiara Taylor. She died at 30 years old by the hands of her husband.
It's been 336 days since the murder of my son that was 4 years old.
They're also united in their anger and frustration that the killers of their family members walk free. They largely blame the office of the Cook County State's Attorney and Kim Fox.
So we ask you, Kim Fox, how much longer do our families need to suffer in pain and sorrow with no justice for our loved ones being served?
Our children's blood on your hands, Ms. Fox. And I hope you see their faces every night.
You think Kim Fox cares? You think she's watching? You think those scenes like that penetrate at all? The shell of self-esteem that surrounds her? No, of course not. She doesn't care at all. That's why she did it in the first place. Someone should take action immediately on that. But she's not the only person who did this. The federal government also played a role, and you probably didn't know it was happening. Over the 8 years of the Barack Obama administration, the Department of Justice forced more than a dozen police departments around the country to enter into something called dissent decrees. Chicago was one of them. The Obama administration began an investigation into the Chicago Police Department, and they got a dissent consent decree. Now, all of these decrees took the same form. They pronounced police departments guilty of racism if those departments disproportionately interact with African Americans, regardless of whether those interactions were legally justified. In other words, the law is entirely irrelevant to the consent decree, and so is reality itself. Here's a line from the DOJ dissent decree imposed under Obama against Chicago. Quote, raw statistics show that CPD, Chicago Police Department, uses force almost 10 times more often against blacks than against whites. Okay, that's one data point. It's not the whole story. It doesn't begin to tell the whole story. There was no analysis whatsoever about whether the use of force in these specific cases was justified. None. So this is not science. They may have graphs. It's not science. It's some kind of crazed race ideology. It's the equity agenda. And in effect, and this, of course, was the intended effect, these consent decrees have been a disaster for the people of these cities. Even in New Orleans, whose mayor, as we've told you many times, has driven that city, that beautiful city, which is worth saving, right into the sewer. Even the Democratic mayor of New Orleans said recently, and we're quoting, the consent decrees handcuff our officers. That's an understatement. At this point, New Orleans is essentially out of police officers. The median police response time in New Orleans to 911 calls is over 2 hours. Imagine, armed people in your home. You call the police. 2 hours. A lot can happen in 2 hours. That's the total collapse of civilization. There's no reason to have a government if the response time is 2 hours. Buy your own guns. Establish your own order. That's where we're going to be very soon. On a recent Friday night in that city, New Orleans, one third-year officer called Scott Fanning just quit mid-shift. Here's how he described it. Quote, that night I quit, there were over 40 calls holding when I logged into my computer. But there were only 35 patrol officers logged in for all 8 districts in the city. Some nights there has literally been one person in a big, dangerous city. But it's not just New Orleans. All over the country, police officers are quitting and they are not being replaced.
Departments across the country say a lack of officers is severely limiting what they can respond to.
We'll routinely respond to shootings, but if the person is going to survive, we are not going to follow up on that.
In Philadelphia, the department says it's short more than 500 officers from before the pandemic. Los Angeles also missing nearly 700 officers from its ranks, prompting the cancellation of its animal cruelty unit and forcing officials to shrink the size of its human trafficking, drug and gun units, and more. With officers struggling to respond to just serious felonies, communities are noticing an uptick in misdemeanors, like in Philly, where more than 30,000 abandoned car complaints are going unanswered.
Oh, did you hear that? So the forces of compassion, of caring, the people who have much more evolved consciences than you do, the people who put coexist in bumper stickers on their Subarus, those people defunded the animal cruelty unit in Los Angeles. So dogs can get tortured to death and nobody cares. And people, too. And the cops who remain on those forces, by and large, don't want to work there because who would want to work there for any amount of money? Terrorizing the police with threats of prosecution if they do their jobs. That's what the Democratic Party has done, and the effect has been what it was intended to be. Depopulating police departments. Crime surged. So in the end, they didn't tell you this, but they succeeded in getting rid of the police. And now politicians are just admitting it out loud in a lot of places. They've decided to just legalize crime. Here's the mayor of Orland Park, Illinois, Keith Picow, describing the state's new Safety Act. Watch this.
As of January 1st, 2023, the following things will go into effect, and people need to be aware of this. It abolishes cash bail for almost every offense. This includes, but isn't limited to, kidnapping, armed robbery, second-degree murder, drug-induced homicide, aggravated DUI, threatening a public official, and aggravated fleeing and eluding. And keep this in mind, businesses and homeowners. Officers will no longer be able to remove trespassers from your residence or your businesses.
So how is this working exactly? Is it such a low-T country that no one's going to do anything about this? Politicians in Illinois just legalized violent crime against you, and no one's done anything about it. A lot of these people are going to be reelected in November. Really? How does that work? Where's the constituency for violent crime in this country? Is there really one? Is there anyone who's for it other than like Kamala Harris and Ron Klain and the ideologues who run this administration? Most people are not for it. Even most Democrats are not for it. The Safety Act of Illinois stands for Safety, Accountability, Fairness, and Equity today. So the reason they're doing this is because they didn't like the demographic breakdown of the people who are getting arrested for crimes, period. This can't be happening. Therefore, they're just going to redefine it away. It was ideologically inconvenient for them. So the solution is to just legalize murder and kidnapping and trespassing. And at the same time, you are not allowed to notice that an awful lot of these cases appear to be, it's hard to know and you never want to think it, but they appear to be motivated by racial animus. They do. That's just true. Again, no one wants to think that. But there are so many videos of it. Consider the horrific attack, really an attempted murder, on a student at Westbrook High School in Beaumont, Texas. He was really recently beaten and nearly killed in a bathroom at school. What did he do wrong exactly? We don't know. We can only guess. But here's the tape. So that just can't be allowed in a civilized country. We cannot allow that or anything like it to happen in our country. This is more important than anything else that's happening because that's someone's child. But everyone just stands by in our country and lets it happen. And in that video in the men's room, everyone stood by and just filmed it, snickered. The attacker, of course, is a repeat offender. He'd already been busted, went to jail, and they put him back in school. And that'll happen again. You'll never know his name. He's a juvenile attacker, so he has a right to go to school. What about the other kids in school? They have no rights. So that means the bathroom at that school in Beaumont, Texas, which is in the United States, is a pretty civilized place. You can't go there anymore. That's equity. Having trouble eating out, too. Restaurants are suddenly out of control. Is anyone noticing this? Here's footage of a robbery at a restaurant in Los Angeles from May. Unbelievable. So then there's this. This is from Providence. This broke out recently, this scene at a place called Mi Sueno Restaurant. Completely out of control. So who has to deal with this? Well, people who have no choice but to eat at middlebrow restaurants and don't have their own private security. But the rich don't have to deal with it because they know exactly what's going on. In many cases, they vote for the politicians who do this. And then they get people to protect them. Armed with guns you're not allowed to have because they have high-capacity magazines. In New Orleans, a real estate developer called Sidney Torres created his own police force. He pays his dispatchers $20,000 a month. We're not attacking him. He probably had no choice. In Greenwich Village in Manhattan, residents and businesses are paying $18,000 for two officers to patrol every month. They're doing it, why? Because they want to spend the money? No, they pay taxes in order to be protected, but they have no choice because police have abandoned New York City too.
The NYPD is releasing disturbing surveillance videos almost every day.
Violent video after violent video. Some are hard to watch. Who could forget this horrific shooting? A gunman opening fire on a Bronx street. Two children are caught between the gunman and his target. The shooter just continues shooting.
One of the suspects was seen on surveillance video pulling a gun on a 32-year-old woman as she was returning home from shopping. Then moments later, a second suspect arrived. The police say they struck the woman in the face. They tied her up, stealing $19,000 from a safe and $12,000 worth of jewelry.
In this one, you see a woman being kicked from behind as she walks down the steps of the Queens Plaza subway station in Long Island City. She is then hit over the head with a hammer as many as 13 times as she is shoved to the ground and robbed.
So these crimes are so appalling. They're attacks not just on individuals, but against civilization and humanity itself, that they at this point really do require an immense and organized nonviolent civil disobedience campaign. So just pick one of those videos at random. Who's the prosecutor who let that person out, refused to charge him in the first place? Who's the politician who decided that attacker had more rights than the old lady he was beating up? Why aren't 15,000 people blocking that person's office or chaining themselves to the front door of it, demanding an answer? Again, why isn't there massive, nonviolent civil disobedience that can change this? Barking about it on cable news clearly isn't working. We've been doing it for 5 years. By the way, it's not. We've given you examples from L.A., Chicago, New York. And you think to yourself, well, yeah, those are big cities. I left. I opted out. I went somewhere nice and beautiful, somewhere like Asheville, North Carolina, up in the mountains. Famously beautiful place. You think you can get away from this in Asheville, North Carolina, the once beautiful mountain town? No, you can't, because it's there, too. In 2013, Asheville elected a new mayor, a lawyer called Esther Mannheim. She had the now mandatory complicated eyeglasses that all the girl bosses now wear. Mannheimer was never especially interested in running the city of Asheville. That was very obvious. She didn't talk much about Asheville. She talked about, can you guess? Climate change and equity. And by the way, anyone who talks about climate change and equity is immediately disqualified from getting your vote. That should be the rule right there. That's like a baseline. Climate change and equity? No, sorry. You're a lunatic. So, by the way, under Mannheimer's leadership, Asheville promised $2.1 million in reparations to black residents. Really? How does that work? And how did it all work out? Well, here are the bottom line numbers. From 2016 to 2020, violent crime in Asheville went up by 31%. Asheville's a beautiful place. It should have no crime, but has a lot now. Climate change, equity. Really? Now we have a lot of carjackings in Asheville. Overall, car thefts went up nearly 20% just last year across the country. And they went up in Asheville. So this happened by accident? If all the politicians are talking about climate change and equity and life for you gets worse every single year, maybe they're doing it on purpose. Here's footage from Wisconsin, Philadelphia, and Detroit.
A group of three young men wearing sweatshirts appearing to case the home. About a minute later, the trio enters the backyard. Police tell us they stole car keys, a cell phone, and a wallet, and that one of the men was holding a gun. They leave the backyard within 30 seconds as someone from the party follows them out. Then one of the suspects drives off in this black Volkswagen SUV while another runs down the sidewalk.
What you see in this video is a carjacking in progress. Police say two male suspects walk up to a man sitting in this white Lexus, open the car door, and force him out at gunpoint. The victim walks away as the carjacker pull off.
His name is Michael Brown. He's around 15 or 16, and he's identified as the suspect driver of this stolen SUV.
As you can see, the Yukon roll over the top of the front of our scout car and knocking over one of our officers seen there on the ground to the right of the Yukon. Then the officer had to roll out of the way as the Yukon tilted over top of our scout car, nearly crushing our police officer.
So why is this continuing? It's been going on for more than 2 years since George Floyd died in Minneapolis, Memorial Day 2020. Why is it continuing? Why has no one stopped it? Because there's no one to stop it. Dad's gone. There's no one in charge with a normal testosterone level who's willing to just say, no, you're not allowed to do this. I'm sorry, you can't do that. That's against the law. This is a country of laws. Nothing personal. We don't care what you look like. That's not allowed. And if you do, we're going to spank you hard so you don't do it again. In other words, no one has shown up with clear and reasonable rules and enforced them consistently. When that happens, everybody calms down. That's true in the family and it's true in the nation. And if you don't have that, you have chaos. Armed robbers suddenly have a right to be on your property. Murderers get out without bail. What are we looking at? We're looking at a war on the population. And it's time for real change. This is completely intolerable. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life. From Tucker Carlson Tonight.
Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. You realize that the Ukrainians are described right now as winning? Is that correct? I mean, in the eastern region where the Russians, I was going to say Soviets, where the Russians had to clearly gain control. They are being ousted. Can you imagine if you were a Russian soldier? Think about it. There's a chance that you will be maimed or killed. A serious chance. And exactly what are you fighting for? Was your beloved motherland, the Naroda, the nation, was it attacked? Does the average Russian have fantasies of reestablishing the Soviet Empire? See, when you have a really powerful reason for fighting, you fight. But if you don't, all you want to know is, what am I risking my life for? Ukrainians have a big reason to fight. Their country was attacked. They did nothing. I know there are those who say, well, they flirted with joining NATO. I did not push for Ukraine to join NATO, for the record. But do you not now understand why a country bordering on the Soviet Union, on Russia, would want to join NATO? Do these people who mock the talk about Ukraine joining NATO, do they not understand that exactly what happened is the reason nations want to join NATO? It's so interesting how people, the instinct in life is for people not to question themselves. But it's a great habit to get into. Gee, what is the weakness in what I just said? Is there one? Is there a rejoinder? So I flirted with danger. I, the Ukraine government, flirted with danger regarding Putin and Russia by even murmuring thoughts of joining NATO. Then I am attacked. My cities are bombed. Homes are bombed. Museums. We have the possibility of a nuclear reactor being bombed. Whole villages and towns are decimated. And then you wonder why I might have wanted to join NATO? You know that Sweden and Finland want to join NATO now? You know how amazing that is? Finland was a verb during the Cold War. We will Finlandize our country, meant that the country will be neutral in the Cold War. Sweden was more anti-American than anti-Soviet. And Sweden and Finland want to join NATO? Are they flirting with an invasion too? So, people don't make peace with the fact that there's evil. So they make up make-believe evils, like the right wing in America, like MAGA Republicans. It's a made-up evil. Made up. It's out of whole cloth. In the most despicable speech given in American presidential history. It's amazing. We move on in news cycles. It's just fascinating. Almost anything can happen and people move on in the news cycle. What is it that impels a man like Putin to want to reestablish the Soviet Empire? I want you to know something that is never mentioned. And I know you know it. When I say it, you will know it. But it's never mentioned. Nostalgia for the Soviet Union means nostalgia for genocide. Not only genocide, But most of the victims of the mass murder of the Soviet Union were Russians. How could you be nostalgic for the murder of tens of millions of your people? You know, to say it is sick is to understate the case. And yet, by the way, and yet, according to polls, a majority, that's right, a majority of Russians say that Stalin was the greatest world leader who ever lived. Many of these people probably had a relative murdered by Stalin. When I speak of the broken moral compass that pervades the world, this is as clear an example as could possibly be offered. The good old days under Stalin, when they took away my uncle and worked him to death, or tortured him to death. Well, work to death is a torture to death. The good old days. By the way, do you ever, you know, I made up something a long time ago. Good old days is an acronym, God. It's a false God, good old days. Not always. I speak of good old days in America, the days that I grew up with. Obviously, there were bad parts, and they need to be acknowledged. The innocence that I grew up with as a child that is now unavailable to most American children who are taught about oral sex in elementary school. Yes, there were some good old days in the United States. It's not always a false god. It certainly is in the case of the Russians. So we have a problem, though. Putin, for his own survival, can't lose. So what will he do in order to win? In that sense, the Ukrainians might lose if they win, and they might lose if they lose. It's a very difficult dilemma. But you got to salute the Ukrainians. You have to salute them. They will not be the same for generations. There's no question Putin has forged the Ukrainian national identity stronger than any other possible event in Ukraine. People now die for their flag. That's a very big statement. There's no question that there is more patriotism per capita in Ukraine than in America. The left has taught a generation that the American flag represents imperialism, colonialism, and racism. The famous picture and sculpture of the Marines planting the American flag on Iwo Jima stirred Americans since it happened in the 1945? Well, I wonder what gives a typical college-age American the chills? Star-Spangled Banner won't do it. Iwo Jima won't do it. The Washington Memorial won't do it. What does? I don't know the answer to that, but it's an important question. There's a wonderful, relatively new newspaper out, one of the truly important voices at this given time, the New York Sun, S-U-N. And I have the publisher, David Efune, E-F-U-N-E, on Skype and audio and video if you want to watch it. The Salem News Channel, correct? Yeah, you can see him. David Efune, that is a very great endeavor you have undertaken. And of all places, New York City, publish a conservative, meaning truth-telling newspaper. So were you visited by a spirit from the heavens? Did you take a miracle pill? What prompted you?
Well, it's interesting, you know, you refer to the Sun as a newspaper, but the truth is, the Sun was first founded in 1833. That's 18 years before the New York Times. It has a phenomenal history. In fact, a lot of what we know today or consider today to be par for the course in terms of how journalism is conducted was quite literally invented by the Sun. The Sun invented paperboys, news syndication, front page headlines, crime reporting, human interest stories. It really, and even, you know, just the basic concept of a newspaper as a mass market product. So, you know, we find ourselves in a very unusual environment when it comes to news media consumption in general. On the one hand, consumption and readership of news and interest in news is at an all-time high, yet trust in news is at an all-time low. And, you know, those numbers just keep getting lower. So for us to bring back a brand that has history, it has tradition, it has authority, it has gravitas, it's an all-American brand, it backed Lincoln during the Civil War, employed the first woman in American journalism. You know, it's that return to the tradition, the finest traditions of American journalism, that we really feel is needed more than ever. And the response has been fantastic so far.
Well, tell me about that response. How are you doing?
Well, we're live in now the third iteration of the New York Sun, the third coming of the New York Sun, we call it, for a little over 6 months. And suffice it to say, we currently have over 500,000 individuals signed up to our email list. So that's been quite explosive and exciting growth. We hope that that trajectory will continue. And most importantly, those people who are receiving it and others who aren't yet receiving it have got to become members and subscribe. And that's how we're supported. And that will ensure that we continue to grow well into the future.
And where do people go? NewYorkSun.com?
NYSun.com.
NYSun.
We didn't want to force people to spell out the word New York.
Uh-huh.
You just go to www.nysun.com. You'll see whatever email you click on, whatever article you click on, it will ask you to put in your email. You put your email in and you'll start receiving two a day in the morning around 7 o'clock. The morning sun goes out. And then around 5 p.m., the evening sun goes out. And then we have a weekend edition on Saturdays and a culture edition on Sundays.
I want you to know, and of course I want my audience to know, how often we use it on the program, by the way, which is the ultimate compliment because, of course, there are so many outlets out there. So the fact that we frequently use the New York Sun is a very big deal. Do you have... I would imagine it is.
It's great to hear, and thank you.
Well, all right.
I'm sure it's not an act of charity, though.
No, we do it because it's excellent. Attention. Well, that's what I wanted people to know. NYSun.com. Dovi DeFuen, we'll talk again, and congratulations, and good luck.
Thank you, Dennis. Stay in touch.
Yes, indeed, will do. NYSun, S-U-N.com. I either said or wrote last year, in fact, I've done it quite a few times, I suspect, that I believe that there are more race hoaxes of the N-word spelled somewhere, screamed out, nooses hanging to frighten and terrorize blacks. I think there are more hoaxes of that type at universities than there are actual racist events like that. I documented, I don't remember in the column that I wrote, I think I documented about a dozen, just that I know about. I'm not a researcher on the matter. And PolitiFact judged it false, not pants on fire, just false. So I wrote a piece, The PolitiFact is to Fact What Pravda Was to Truth. Pravda means truth. PolitiFact is not interested in truth. It's interested in furthering the cause of leftism, and truth is not a left-wing value. It's as simple as that. It's not a left-wing value. If it doesn't further the leftist cause, that is the question, not is it true. It's true. That's the reason they throw out labels. So if I write, which I did last week, that women in America were disproportionately involved in destroying this country, damaging the country, that's the term I used, that's a better term. They don't ask, is it true? They just say misogyny. See, that's a perfect example. They don't ask ever, is it true? If you believe that what is being done to little children in most public schools today and many private schools, you think it's good, then what I wrote is wrong. Women are disproportionately making America better by teaching kids about fellatio. It's a beautiful thing in elementary school. And so it's a beautiful thing that they're taught that there are non-binary people, and they may be one of them. But if you think that this is damaging in the extreme, then women who are 92% of kindergarten teachers are doing a disproportionate amount of damage. And there are many reasons. One of them is that in terms of graduate degrees right now, or even maybe just graduation from college, I just saw the statistic yesterday. For every 100 men getting a degree are 143 women. 50% more women are brainwashed than men. So that alone is one of the explanations. It's going to be fascinating. We're really experimenting with the human race, the left is. Because they found it boring that we had a wonderful country. It's boring. Beethoven is boring. Freedom is boring. Making a business is boring. Changing the world. That's interesting. So there's a new hoax. There are quite a few every year. The latest was at Duke University, which was home to the infamous hoax about the lacrosse team raping a black woman. Also a hoax. I want to make clear why I believe there are so many race hoaxes, because there's so little racism. Jews did not make up any anti-Semitic hoaxes in Germany in the 1930s. They didn't have to. There was too much real anti-Semitism. We make them up here because there's so little racism. So you have to invent them. Also, it's the hoax creator gets a lot of attention. And that's fun. So we have a woman on the Duke, was it volleyball? The Duke women's volleyball team. Duke again. Another wasteland Duke. Another forest calling itself a university. In terms of commitment to truth and learning, Prager University has a greater right to call itself a university than Yale does. I mean that literally. If commitment to truth and the opening of the mind are defining elements of a university, we have earned that title more than Yale has. Yale has given it up. I use Yale because it's vile. It's truly a wasteland. But so many are. Duke is headed in that direction. They have Yale envy, to paraphrase Freud on another form of envy. So a black woman on the Duke volleyball team says that every time she went to serve, or I think that was a yes, so a fan would scream the N-word at her. Okay? My instinct is that as soon as I would hear it, I didn't hear it until the hoax was reported. But my instinct was she's lying. I assumed she was lying as soon as I heard about it. Can you imagine somebody, it was at Brigham Young University, Mormon University. So can you imagine some fan screaming the word every time she went to serve and nothing happening? It's not conceivable. It's simply inconceivable. She's a liar. But lying on the left is not a sin. It's very important that people realize that lying is rewarded on the left. That's why they preoccupied themselves with Trump lies. Here, document thousands of lies, Washington Post. Channels the mind in directions away from the world of the lie that has always characterized the left since Lenin. Okay, so she says this. And I want you to hear how the sheep, the left-wing sheep, which is redundant. All leftists are sheep, not all liberals. Liberals are weak, but they're not necessarily sheep. But all the left-wing sheep on the media, this is how they reported with zero evidence. Zero evidence. This is how they reported the claim by the Duke girl.
A Duke volleyball player is speaking out after she and other black teammates CNN. Were called racist slurs and threatened during a match against Brigham Young University on Friday.
A volleyball match between Duke CNN. And Brigham Young University turned ugly after one Duke player was heckled with racist slurs.
Racist slurs hurled at a Duke CNN. Volleyball player during a match at Brigham Young.
It's not just the abhorrent CNN. Racist attacks that Rachel Richardson and her fellow African-American volleyball players endured.
Richardson was not only CNN. Called the N-word every time she served during a game against BYU, mm-hmm. she was threatened and she said she was made to feel unsafe in a crowded gym.
So here's my question. I used to be on Don Lemon somewhat frequently. And I would like to ask Don, when you said that, if we were to put you on a lie detector, would you have passed the test if the question that you had to answer was, do you believe what she said to be true? About 6 months ago, I would have said, I don't know. I, Dennis. I have now come to believe that left-wing liars often believe their lies. That he might have passed the test. Which, by the way, I find actually scarier. If you know you're lying, there is hope. If you don't know you're lying, there is no hope. Now, why did I assume she was lying? And he assumed, not only assumed, reported it as true. Well, reported what she said, to be precise. Why? There are answers.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Hi, Dennis Prager here. So I just played for you the... I guess all of those hosts were CNN, which doesn't speak well for CNN, but it's irrelevant. ESPN, of course, did the same thing. Another group that has completely disgraced itself, sports writers. They were the panic mongers for the Washington Redskins to change their name. They were big ones on having BLM tattooed on the pitcher's mound. Yeah, remember that? Amazing how people forget. You know why people forget? They want to forget, and I don't blame them. Because you want to enjoy baseball and football and basketball. Hockey wasn't tainted as much. You want to enjoy the sports, so you forget the damage that they did to the country and all those sports. The cowards at the head of Major League Baseball, the NFL, and the NBA. You can attack America, but you can't attack China. That is the great Talmudic phrase, those who are kind to the cruel, be cruel to the kind. The left is kind to China and cruel to America. It's perfect. Every generation seems to fight the same battles. Isn't that true? I mean, if that was written 2,000 years ago, 1,800 years ago in the Talmud, I think there's a certain... You know why there's a repetition in every generation? Because human nature doesn't change. That's why I consider the Bible eternal. It's not rooted in any specific... Well, it is in two specific events, at least the Old Testament, creation and Exodus, and of course the New Testament in crucifixion and resurrection in addition. But otherwise, it's rooted in human nature. That doesn't change. John Hinderaker at Powerline reports, as far as I can tell, no one has apologized for the Duke lie. The godmother, who's a white hater, I mean, they have her tweets. The godmother of the goddaughter, who was reportedly the recipient of the N-word screamed at her every time she served, a gigantic lie, a pure 100% lie, to the best of our human ability to know what is true and what is not true. And this woman hates whites, the godmother. But of course, you're taught in every university in this country, except perhaps Hillsdale and a few others, as I was taught this at Columbia in the 70s. Blacks cannot be racist. It was one of the pieces of drivel that led me away from the left. It's a line of such colossal moral idiocy that how can you take the person who says that seriously? A black cannot be a racist. Is that comment not racist? Not to mention absurd? Anyway, a white-hating godmother made up the lie. It was reported, as you heard in that montage developed at Fox News of CNN reporters. John Hinderaker, as far as I can tell, no one has apologized. Did anybody apologize, by the way? BYU might have.
They apologized for the initial incident. They have nothing to apologize for.
Well, they went along with it.
Yeah, they investigated.
But they investigated, to their credit. BYU investigated and found it didn't happen. Duke didn't apologize, nor the South Carolina coach. Do you know what the South Carolina coach of the women's... volleyball team.
No, it was South Carolina's basketball.
Oh, that was basketball. They canceled
a game
against BYU.
Yeah.
In basketball,
right. Because
allegedly at BYU someone used the N-word.
At a volleyball game.
Oh, I gotta. Let's invite the South Carolina coach onto the show. Folks, it is more likely that it will snow on the equator than that woman would come on my radio show. But it would be fun to invite her. What a fool. What a fool. This collective punishment is amazing. Even if it were true, let us say one fan screamed the N-word. So you will not play BYU in sports? The entire university is guilty? What a sick human being. What a despicable person the coach of the South Carolina women's basketball team is. I got a lot of South Carolina listeners. Make your voice heard. Say, until she apologizes or South Carolina fires her, You will have nothing to do with South Carolina basketball. This is not a matter of a wayward fan. This is the coach. The University of South Carolina, is that what it is? Is that the University of South Carolina? Okay. Employs this woman. She is the voice of their women's basketball. And she's a despicable voice. She's a moral fool. You want to make America better, South Carolina listeners? Fight. Ask that she be fired if she doesn't apologize. Even if there were such an event and it didn't take place, she would be totally immoral in what she decided to do. I will punish an entire university, plus my own team, because they forfeited the game, because of one fan? Wow. Of course, no apology from Duke, no apology from South Carolina. You know why? I wrote this 30 years ago. Being on the left means never having to say you're sorry. This is example number 10,000. Hi, Dennis Prager here. So it turns out that this female volleyball player for Duke lied because her godmother made this charge and she supported it. Godmother is a black racist. And she supported it. Turned out to be untrue. Another race hoax happened regularly on campuses in this country, and they're always backed by the administration because you cannot be a college president or a dean if you're not a coward. It's actually part of the application process. Give us examples of your cowardice so that we may consider you to be a college president. So listen to what Duke University, which is another disgrace to the word university. It was standing behind its players in response, this is from the New York Sun, which I just had the publisher on last hour. In response to the BYU statement about the investigation, Duke University released its own, saying it was standing behind the players. What does that even mean, standing behind the players? We continue to believe that the N-word was used? Is that what Duke is saying? Yeah. So Duke is now lying after the fact. That doesn't matter. Truth is not a left-wing value. The 18 members of the Duke University volleyball team are exceptionally strong women. Is that true? Every one of them is an exceptionally strong woman? This is classic leftist mumbo-jumbo. This overstated adjectives. Every member of the Duke volleyball, women's volleyball team is an exceptionally strong woman? Anyway, what does that have to do with whether or not Duke should apologize? Is the black girl who said that she was called the N-word an exceptionally strong woman? Or is she a liar? Can you be a liar and exceptionally strong at the same time? At Duke, you can. Who represent themselves, their families, and Duke University with the utmost integrity. So Duke is lying. Duke's lie is worse because they now know it's not true. And yet, how many conservatives ache to send their kids to Duke? It doesn't matter how venal the university gets. People will spend their $70,000 to send their kid there. There is no moral accountability for college presidents. None. Their only accountability is how much dough did they bring in. That's the job of a college president anyway. This was said by the school's director of athletics, Nina King. They all have the utmost integrity. If any of them had any integrity, they would say, this is really a shame that we smeared BYU. That's what integrity would entail, Nina King. But I don't believe that Nina King knows what integrity means. I don't mean this as an attack. It's an attack, I acknowledge. I mean it as a statement of what seems to be factual. We unequivocally stand with and champion them, especially when their character is called into question. Wow. Why would anybody call the Duke women's volleyball team members' character into question? Because they're all going along with a hoax? Gee, how silly of us. Duke Athletics believes in respect, equality, and inclusiveness. And we do not tolerate hate and bias. That is true. They do believe in equality. I don't know about respect, equality, and inclusiveness. That's true. They don't believe in truth. That's correct. The words are very revealing. That's what they believe in, equality and inclusiveness. But what does that even mean? So you're permitted to lie if you're black? That's what it means. Duke University says you can lie if you're black. Think if a white player had said that they were called racial names by some black fan, they would have the same response? My dear friends, that is like asking, is it cold at the South Pole? We all know the answer. The South Carolina women's basketball coach is named Dawn Staley. She has not apologized to BYU or to the country for her support of a race hoax. Because she doesn't have to. You think the University of South Carolina is going to ask her to? She canceled games. She punished all of BYU and her own players for what one fan allegedly said but never said. With all the video and everything, 50 people were interviewed. Wouldn't you think other blacks would have heard it too? By the way, you think that there is any place in the United States at a basketball game where somebody could repeatedly yell out the N-word and whites not object? It's inconceivable. Let alone not report it, cover it up. What lessons are taught by these universities? It's okay to lie if it involves race. That's the lesson at the University of South Carolina if your kid goes there. It's okay to lie. These are anti-character lessons at our universities. Anti-character. What is her name? Dawn what?
Staley.
Staley. Yep. Dennis Prager here. Thanks for listening to the Daily Dennis Prager Podcast. To hear the entire 3 hours of my radio show, commercial free every single day, become a member of Pragertopia. You'll also get access to 15 years worth of archives, as well as the daily show prep. Subscribe at Pragertopia.com.